Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, Intruder Alert. HQ 3, Intruder Alert.
Oh, we're going to make somebody think intruder, but we're going to be very smooth about it. Hey, good evening. Welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon. I am your hostess and your cruise director, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jennifer. And this is going to be another night, another fun night you're going to love. But first of all, let me start off by saying Happy New Year. Wishing you all the best 2018. A lot of things going on. First of all, there's some things, you know, when you got something to look forward to with New Year's and new resolutions and stuff, and you may have happy memories of 2017, and we all may have things we would like to just leave way back there. But one of the things that you made good for me is that this podcast has grown immensely thanks to you, because I wanted subscribers, I wanted people to listen, I wanted to bring you great entertainment, whether it's music or authors or people in television and film, and I've just tried to bring you so many people with interesting take on things, their stories, their music, their lives and their careers, and you've been so good to subscribe, to tell your friends about it. I want to say hello to my friend Mimi, because Mimi's been listening to every episode in order from number one, Mimi in Asheville. I love you. Thank you. And you know, now we're on iTunes, Stitcher, several other platforms that you can subscribe to, as well as Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening live tonight, and this is the first show of the new year, if you're listening live tonight and you're listening on Blog Talk Radio and you're looking at the link, or this is January 4th, all you have to do is there's a pink rectangle that says in white letters, I believe it says follow. If you would please click on that and follow, if you're so inclined, nobody's pressured, but if you're so inclined to follow, that way you'll know what's happening. You can also follow Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook and on also on Twitter. That way you'll know who's coming up, so you won't miss anybody that you're interested in if you want to talk to them live or call in. But even if you miss a live show, they're always available for download for free in perpetuity. So you can listen. Most people tend to listen on the weekends. I know I listen to podcasts on the weekends, so I understand that. And lately I've been getting between, sometimes by between 300 and 600 people a day download podcasts. And some of them, like recent ones, or some that are a year old. And so you just live on right here in podcast world. But thank you so much for helping me, because that way, since you listen and you share it and you download and subscribe, that helps me to bring more fantastic people like we've had lately and like we've got coming up soon and tonight, and also to get sponsors. Recently, some of the fun shows we've had lately, you know, we had Lita Ford on, Lita Ford, guitarist for the Runaways, and her book was called Living Like a Runaway, and Lita is still out on tour. She has been one of the one of our favorite guests. Also, Athena Bass was on. Athena is a drummer for a band called Femme Fatale, but you probably know her brother, who's a drummer. His name is Tommy Lee, and he's with the band Motley Crue. So, but she's got a new, as she told us back when she was on the show, that she was relaunching her business of bath products and candles. It's called Athena Robins. So she's going to be, she sent me a message that she wants to come on very soon. She's got some beautiful stuff she's been showing me, and you're going to see that. Also, a popular guest was Doug Stinson. His book was called Downstairs at the White House. It was about how at the age of 17, he somehow stumbled onto a job as an intern in the White House, during the Nixon administration, and which gave him a ringside seat to Watergate. And believe me, don't think it's going to be all a heavy book if you can't handle that, because he tells crazy stories like accidentally serving Coca-Cola to the chairman of PepsiCo, you know, these little faux pas he made, accidentally calling Pat Nixon kiddo because she was in a scarf and it was dimly lit in the hall and thought she was a housekeeper. And he had a lot of hilarious stories on that. But let's go downstairs at the White House. And coming soon, we have a lot of other fun people, too, like this. We're going to have Prairie Prince, you know, from The Tubes and Todd Rundgren. We also have Madison Maxwell from Poet Radio. She's a musician, but she also has a day job as a tech support for a shaman. You don't get much cooler than that, tech support for a shaman. I can dig it. So, but right now, I want to say, you know, we had people from the, there was an anthology came out a year ago called Alternative Truths. And my dear friend, if you listen to Madame Perry's Salon, you know my friend, Rebecca McFarlane Kyle, editor, author, fantastic lady. And she was one of the editors of that, and she's also one of the editors of the new anthology, More Alternative Truths. Stories from the Resistance, and it is out. It is full of superb writing by writers who know their craft, and they use their words. Their words are, as I said on here, weapons tracking their target as swift and sure as a seasoned sniper. But they're doing it all for good. And several of them will be here tonight. And I want to say, you see, you know, Madame Perry Salon, those of you who have listened know that it's that as author Robert Leland Taylor said, he gave the scoop, he exposed us, he said it looked like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. And so Becky Kyle, as we call Rebecca McFarlane Kyle, Becky Kyle has her own cushion here in Madame Perry's Salon, and she brings a lot of her friends in. So, but it's kind of dim in here. So, Becky, if you're here, I can't see you.
I'm here.
Oh, good. I am.
Yeah.
Glad.
Well, I'm here from the great frozen South.
Frozen South. Well, you're not in your usual seat. That's why I didn't recognize you. So, yeah, you're the frozen South of Tennessee. I'm in Atlanta, which HLN said has been colder than Anchorage, Alaska this week.
Lovely.
And I know. But so, Becky, welcome. Again, it's been a while since you've been here, but you, like I said, you've got your own seat in here, and any friend of yours is always welcome here. So tell us about, you know, tell us about More Alternative Truths, Stories from the Resistance. Tell me about how soon after Alternative Truths did a group decide to put forth a second volume, and give us a little bit of idea about how that began, if you would.
Okay. I was not one of the editors of the first volume. I'm going to correct that because somebody might come along and spank me. The second volume was out. We hit bestseller status on Amazon, and the publisher, Bob Brown, who is a force of nature, called me and said, would you like to be on the editorial team for the second one? And one of my fantasy fiction heroes, sheroes, was on the editorial staff as well, Irene Radford, Phyllis Irene Radford. And I said, oh, heck yes. So we set out the call just as the ink pretty much had dried on the first one, and we were still selling like hotcakes. And we drove in even more excellent talent than the first volume. That, you know, both of them are stellar, keep in mind, but we got some different people for the second one. David Gerald, Jane Yolen, the poet and fantasy author, let's see, Eric Witchie, Lou Antoinelli, Jim Wright, of course, has returned. Jim Wright from Stone Kettle Station. He is one of the most popular bloggers around, and mm-hmm. just in general, a really, truly funny man, truly wise man, former Navy chief. So you have an idea of what his acumen is. An amazing and talented cast of characters. We have more than 24 stories and poems in this edition, and it's just beautifully put together. Bob doesn't do anything by halves.
This is Phyllis Irene Radford interrupting.
Fangirl squeaks.
Yeah. Hi, Becky. I wanted to interject that we also have such stellar names as Esther Friesner, Elizabeth Ann Scarborough, who is with us tonight, mm-hmm. and Mike Resnick.
Excellent.
Are in the cast of characters, this whole alternative truths community is an organism. It is grown, and we have become a true community of authors as well as fans on Facebook. So it's more than just the anthology; it's the entire community.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
I'll give the floor back to you.
No, that's very important. Thank you so much. And just to let you know who's already here, Becky, and like I said, it's a little dim in here, so sometimes I miss somebody. But so far in here, some of the authors, there's too many to get all in one show, and we'd be happy to have everyone else back whenever they have time. Deborah Godfrey, of course, Phyllis Irene Radford. Hi. Marlene.
Hello.
Tell me your last name again, Marlene. Hey.
Barr.
Marlene Barr. Thank you, dear. Elizabeth Ann Scarborough.
Hi.
Annie.
Kyle, hi.
Hi.
And who else snuck in here that I haven't seen yet? Maybe they're hiding behind the beaded curtain.
Melinda Beaver.
Hi.
Hey, Melinda.
Hey.
Karen Anderson.
Yay.
I'm calling you from the Everglades.
I'm jealous. Is it warm there?
No, the alligator's
31 degrees. 31
oh,
degrees.
Never mind. It's cold and you've got alligators. I'm staying where I am.
Okay.
We just have slugs here.
Yeah. It's 39 degrees on
all
Mount Hood, and I have Sasquatch looking in my window most every night.
Ooh.
Show off. So, and let's see, who else, whose name have I not mentioned that was here? Nobody? Okay. Oh, I know somebody just walked in. Excuse me. Miss Elizabeth Ann Scarborough, would you reach over and kind of part the beaded curtain? Somebody else just walked in.
Oh, okay. Come on in.
Hi. Well, welcome to Madam Perry's
Salon.
Rattle. Okay, I'm only going to call you as area code 253. Boy, if that's not
oh, hi, that would
double
be
not
me.
Spy. Hi. And
hi.
Are you going to give us your, you don't have to give us your real name, but just give us some name to call you by besides Agent 253.
No, it's Manny Frischberg.
Manny.
Hi, Manny.
Hi.
Hi, Manny.
Glad to.
Hi, Manny. It's Annie.
Hi.
And it's Deborah.
Yeah, we got Deborah, Melinda, Irene, Annie, Manny, Marlene, Becky,
Karen.
We sound like the Mickey
Karen.
Mouse Club.
And Phil.
Karen and Phil, yes, okay. All right, well, so glad to have you here. So the first book went so well, and just second one started up, and I think that you guys, how many submissions did you get? Because I'm sure
the first book was like 125, and the second one was almost 200. I don't know the exact number. Right off the top of my head. But I have to admit that the quality of the submissions for the second one was head and shoulders above the first. We had very few of what were you thinking kind of stories come in. You know, we had some in the first, but, you know, very, very few in the second. And people who were watching us very cautiously, like, this is a brand new publisher, one-shot idea. I don't know if I want to taint my name with these guys. And then we hit bestseller status, and the flood of new submissions just was outstanding.
All right. Well, listen, and also, if you're listening live tonight, listen the first time. If you didn't hear the one before, if you don't know already by now by the fact that it's called Stories from the Resistance, why you're here, what this is all about, let me just say, I got the copy, and probably most of you here have this as well. On Sunday, New Year's Eve Day, the New York Times, on the front page of the fold, two stories, but the one on the left, under a picture of Der Führergraber, it says, and this is a story by Peter Baker, it says, under Trump, a once unimaginable presidency becomes reality. And, you know, that's just a few little words, but it says it all. You know, we never thought we would be in a situation like this. And you guys have come together with an anthology of stories.
But, Jennifer, what it doesn't say is, but not in a good way.
But not in a good way, yeah.
I think that was understood.
The only thing...
Exactamente, mi amiga.
The one thing positive... Well, is the community that's come together, you know, of musicians and storytellers to fight.
Yes, I agree with Marlene
that
on that.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
When we first started putting more alternative truths together, we had originally thought the subtitle would be The Left Writes Back. But then our fearless leader got involved in some discussions with right wing people, and we actually got Lou Antonelli, who is on the other side of the fence from us, to submit something that was outstanding, and so we were no longer the left writing back; we were everybody writing back, and so that's why it's Stories from the Resistance.
Ah, okay. I see. Very good. All right, so because we have just a little time and we have some of you here, I want to go ahead and start off with just a couple of you, if you don't mind, if you would, just share in your own voice, read your stories or read part of your stories or your poems or something that you have here. And
well,
I think
I'll just
be very nice to start with. Oh, with Phil?
Yeah.
You ready to go, Phil?
And actually, I'm just going to read a few paragraphs from my story, which is called Illegal Citizens. And it's in reaction to what, you know, which direction would traffic flow if the wall goes up? Okay. 3 weeks ago, Mariposa would never have come to a place like this. The dark, low-ceilinged room reeked of cheap tobacco, spilled tequila, stale piss, and better than backyard pot. She pushed back against the wall and let her eyes adjust to the gloom. She found the coyote quickly, a tall Anglo in a slick suit and a too-wide tie. Out of style for so long, it was almost hip again. Nordic blonde, he should have been marked as an outsider in this illegal haven. But as the easy smile and casual way he lounged against the bar said he belonged. Nicknamed the Viking, he was her contact, and that information had cost her quite a bit of cash. Everyone else in the bar was too dark-skinned or too short, and like her, too Mexican. Six rapid shots exploded outside. She slid down, making herself small, covering her head and neck with crossed arms, like in the air raid drills back in elementary school. A few of the patrons looked up from their drinks with alarm. Most ignored the gunfire. They must consider this a normal evening's entertainment. With a deep breath that threatened to turn her resolve into a coughing fit, she picked her way between wobbling tables and catcalls. Hey, chica, come have a drink with me. Hola, chica, you need a real man tonight. She hadn't appreciated that kind of attention when she had been young enough to deserve it. Here, age didn't matter so much as willingness. With long practice, she ignored them all. Only the Viking held her in interest. And the thing is that this story takes place north of the wall. And Mariposa has been singled out to be removed. She's a federal judge.
Oh.
She's a federal judge running for Senate, the Senate. And
okay.
Yeah, and her family has been in what is now the United States for longer than it's been the United States.
This story made me cry because I had a friend in high school named Margarita Gutierrez, whose family had come to Texas before Texas was a state. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was constantly being told to go back to her home country. And she said, you know, how many generations have you been here? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, on the East Coast, I ran into it with the DAR. And my father's family would say, hey, if the people, pilgrims at Plymouth, had had a decent navigator, my people would have been here waiting for them. His family were sons of Jamestown. So there's degrees of hubris and pride in where you come from and when you came over. This was a story that touched me deeply, and I'm very glad that Lou Berger, our fourth editor, managed to just make my prose sing in ways I never thought imaginable.
Mm. Yeah,
so.
Thanks to him.
Okay, now.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Irene. Yeah. Who would like to read next? Okay, who?
Did somebody else say something?
I think it's Annie.
Annie?
Say moi.
All right. Elizabeth Ann Scarborough, tell us about what you're going to read, or tell, and the title, if you would.
My story is called Wishcraft.com, and I'm a fantasy writer, so I kind of see things in terms of fairy tale parodies a lot. I just have thought that if there was ever a classical villain, we've got him in the White House. So he's got this trilogy of fairy tales that are enacted in order to maybe teach him and maybe not how to behave like a civilized person. On the day he sent forth the decree abolishing Social Security for the parasitic elderly, authorizing another $40 billion worth of tax cuts for the job creators, and allocating another $700 billion to the construction of the wall between the U.S. and Mexico, the great man jetted home to the city for a well-earned rest. What he found was an annoying surprise. A disgusting old woman huddled against the wall of the skyscraper bearing his great family name. He held his breath before he came even with her, pretty sure she would stink. "Hey, fella, got any spare change?" "Get a job," he growled, though he couldn't imagine anyone would want to hire her. He turned to where his guards had been, making a sweeping motion with his hands to indicate they should dispose of her, but they were nowhere in sight. They'd been there just a second ago. No matter, he'd bawl them out and fire them as soon as they returned. "I had a job, but the company closed when the owners got sent back to Mexico," the old gal whined. "Everybody's got a hard luck story," he said. "Now get off my property or I'll send you to Guantanamo. You won't like it." "Watch who you're bullying, troll boy," she said. "All I want is a square meal. You think begging is easy? Easier than working for a living? How would you know? Because I have done great things with my life, wonderful things, and you are nothing but a pathetic loser who is probably going to leave a stain on my marble facade." Maybe I lost fair and square, whereas you have won using lies and trickery. Industry standard business practice, he said. If you'd done yourself up, maybe a nose job, a boob job, a little makeup back when you were young, you might have even been able to date someone like me, even had a little arrangement and not be on the streets now. Do you seriously want me to throw up on your nice clean building, big shot? Someone get this old cat out of here, he cried to his currently invisible security team. Oh, I'm leaving, but I will leave you with something to remember me by, she said, and vanished, poof, just like that. He was surprised to see she did it with a certain amount of class and gold glitter. Then he realized he had just imagined it, though he was not a particularly imaginative man, unless it involved ways to add to his personal treasury by relocating someone else's assets. Where glitter and grime had met on the side of the building, two of his security guys now stood, looking professionally concerned. Come on, the great man said, for he had no time to waste with useless poor people. He was too preoccupied to notice when something solid escaped from his lips, but the security guard protecting his rear stomped on a huge hairy spider scampering toward the nearest drain.
Now, we want to give everybody a chance, Annie, but
I know.
That story goes on, just a wonderful twist.
I wasn't going to read the rest of it. I was just trying to give you a chance to identify the fairy tale.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's yeah. That's good.
As a storyteller, I loved that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Oh, that is good. Before we get to the next reader, where can people get a copy of More Alternative Truths? Where can they purchase?
Amazon.
Okay.
Both print and ebook. We had the ebook available elsewhere, and the sales were not worth it, so we just left it at Amazon.
All right. Okay. And
if you have a Nook or an iBook, please do write. Email B-Cubed Press. Does anybody remember his email? And we'll make arrangements to get you an EPUB copy for other reading devices.
Just
go to the B-Cubed Press website.
Okay.
Karen,
is there
contact info on the website?
There certainly is. There's a nice contact page. You can email Bob directly from there and get whatever you need.
Okay, and it's bcubedpress.com. Okay.
All right, fantastic.
B as in boy.
And also, B as in boy, bcubed.com. And I'll also be sharing on my social media on Facebook, Twitter, and where else, Reddit, LinkedIn, everything else, where people can find, get their own copy of Alternative Truth, More Alternative Truth. Okay, well, who's going to step up next to the microphone?
I'll do it. This is Deborah.
All right. Oh, Deborah, good. Okay. Deborah Godfrey.
My story is called Non-White in America. And when I wrote it, I thought I was exaggerating, and now if I saw it in the newspaper, I would believe it, which is very sad. Non-White in America. Sharrow is fine. Come to school quickly. Bring your bag. That was all Ayan had on her phone, but the principal at her daughter's school wouldn't have texted her for anything short of a crime, and Ayan was a doctor. Bring your bag was never good. Her office was only blocks from Ahmed Zewail Elementary School, so she grabbed her go bag and ran, still in her white coat. It only took a moment before she heard a distant muttering, growing louder the closer she got. A policeman in riot gear flagged her down. You don't want to go any farther, ma'am, he shouted, particularly wearing that. He pointed to her hijab. Her eyes widened as she finally caught a glimpse of the signs aloft in the crowd gathered in front of the school door. Amongst them, radical Islam is the new Nazi. What would Jesus do, have his throat slit by Muhammad? Muslim school brainwashes kids, and no ISIS in America. It was a quick decision. Removing the headscarf, she stuffed it in her bag. At that moment, it was more important to get into the school than it was to make cultural statements. My daughter's in there, along with several hundred other kids. She shouted as loudly as she could over the roar of the crowd. It isn't safe. The black officer looked nervously at the throng. It took her a moment before she realized that several of its members were wearing the same uniform he was. Other police officers dressed in riot gear were milling around the outskirts, but none were moving to protect the building full of children. I'm a doctor. Maybe I can help. Do you know if anyone inside is hurt? Yes, ma'am, at least one person. He pressed the side of the mic attached to his vest and muttered into it. She watched a brick thrown arc through the air, striking one of the few intact second-story windows. As though it were a trigger, dozens of missiles followed it, everything from fist-sized rocks to hammers. Most bounced harmlessly off the walls, but a few of them smashed into glass. That's the end of the reading. The story goes on.
Wow. Okay, you're going to keep us. Yeah.
What scares me is how prophetic some of these stories could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, strange to say, when I wrote it and I read it out loud to my husband, it made me cry, and I had just written it. But it was just too real.
That was one that made me cry when I was reading submissions as well. I had my tissue box by the computer when I was doing it, actually.
Well, thank you.
You weren't the only one, Becky.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. This is the kind of book that, you know, even I had it for a long time, but like I had to read it in short bits.
Yeah.
You know, just read a couple people at a time, and then, then the next one. So, yeah. Very powerful. So what you're getting, if you're listening to this here, is you're in some places you're getting a bit of a sample of these stories, and sometimes you might feel like you know where it's going, and you may not know where the story's going to end up, but it's giving you a nice sampling of what you can expect if you get a copy of More Alternative Truths. And again, every story on here is ace. There's not a clunker in the bunch, of course. As I didn't expect there would be. But this is very high quality writing, and all right. And my buddy, my friend here, Becky Kyle, Rebecca McFarlane Kyle, officially. Becky, who do you think, who do you see near you that would be a good to go next and read? Is it time for Manny? Is it time to have a man here?
Manny would be excellent. Melinda would be excellent. They can thumb wrestle for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Manny has an announcement to make too, so he needs some space.
Mm-hmm. So, Melinda, why don't you go ahead and go first?
I'm happy to. The story's called The Healer, and it was inspired by comments my father made to me before he died. So, I actually quoted him in the story. Susan readied herself for the trek. Bags checked. Three of them slung over her shoulder. Clippers checked. Freshly sharpened in one of the bags. Gun? She sighed as she clipped the holster to the strap she wore under her blue shirt. She picked her pistol, checked the clip in safety, attached the silencer, and slid it into the holster. She lived down in the country, and today's harvest was in a nearby field, only a mile or so down the dirt road that ran in front of her house. She couldn't be too careful. There were too many scumbags on the prowl, and a few of them had entered down her isolated lane. They never did it more than once. Self-defense, every single time. She was not a woman who would be raped easily or who would allow what little she had to be taken. With the mockery the courts had become and no money for bribes, she hadn't reported anything. As a result, her garden was growing extra well, and having a good garden was crucial, especially for her medicinal herbs. she sighed again, opened her door cautiously, looked around, and then went outside. Closing her door and walking triple walks only took a minute. As she walked down the road, her thoughts moved back to the past. I'm telling you, if Trump is elected, the United States will go up into flames. The elderly man's proclamation was brought on by the commentary from the news show he was watching. Okay, Daddy, I believe you. But how will it happen? I don't know, but it will happen. Mark my words. Furthermore, her father predicted, if he is elected, your knowledge of herbal medicine will make you a very valuable commodity. That's the section I decided to read. That's the first opening paragraph of my story. And the interesting thing about my little story is I was talking to somebody about it, and this person is in the medical profession. And, you know, I said, this is a futuristic story. It's set about 5 years in the future, Grand Trump's second term. And everything I said about it, this woman looks at me and goes, but that's already happening. But that's already happening. But that's happening now.
Mm. That's frightening.
Man.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my little excerpt. And the herbal use I have in the story is very accurate.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. Wow. Mm. All right.
Are you letting Manny off the hook?
No, we need to hear from Manny.
Yes,
Manny.
Oh, no, I was just going to say this is a change of mood. And also a story that I genuinely hope never really comes to pass. It's something that I wrote with my writing partner, Ed Vick, called Tweet Storm. And what I'm going to do is read some selected tweets. Okay, 3:14 a.m., Saturday, October 31st, 2020. Sri Lanka military kidnap U.S. tourists. Blackwater International Company picnic in Vavayuna attacked. Colombo claims of Tamil collusion fake news at Real Donald Trump. 12:20 p.m., Sunday, November 1st. President Trump calls for a brief halt to all election activity until Sri Lanka threat is resolved. Says, quote, war is no time for partisan division, end quote. President Donald J. Trump at POTUS. 7:55 a.m., Wednesday, November 4th. Sri Lanka is not even its real name. Look at any old encyclopedia. It's Ceylon. No wonder the Tamil want to break away. Real Donald Trump. Hashtag Ceylon Tea Party. USA not cowed by cowardly Sri Lankan army terrorists. We will continue to support Tamil freedom fighters. Donald J. Trump at Real Donald J. Real Donald Trump. Ceylon, hashtag Ceylon Tea Party. Hashtag say no to terror. 3:31 a.m., Thursday, November 12, 2020. Support the brave Tamil resistance to socialistic Sinhala envirocrats. Freedom for Elam to develop its energy future. At Real Donald Trump. Hashtag free Tamil oil. Hashtag it's a long way to Trincomalee. 1:41 a.m., Tuesday, January 19, 2021. Canceling re-inauguration tomorrow. Unnecessary. I am president already. Much too busy. Donald Trump at Real Donald Trump. At Real Donald Trump. Hashtag free POTUS. 1:45 p.m. January 21st, 2021. This great nation is going to colonize Mars. NASA is ready. Taking applications now. At Real Donald Trump. Hashtag NASA. Hashtag going to Mars. 9:45 a.m., March 7th, 2021. Declaring victory in Sri Lanka, troops needed in Hawaii. At Real Donald J. Trump. Hashtag victory. Hashtag put Dems in their place. 3:21 a.m. Friday, March 19th, 2021. Great leaders don't ask others to take risks they won't. I will lead the trip to Mars myself. Less strain on my heart so I can serve longer. At Real Donald J. Trump, hashtag Make America Mars Again.
That's great.
But what about, what of any of those tweets sounds exaggerated is what I want to know.
Really?
Oh, come
we're
going
to get rid of him that easy.
But the idea of him so going silly. To Mars is sort of attractive.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah. Okay. And Manny, you had an announcement for us too?
Well, just that there is going to be a sort of a third volume. Not a yet still more alternative truths, but I've been working on an anthology called After the Orange, which is about the stories that take place in a post-Trump world. And we closed submissions on December 15th. We had 99.
Wow.
My.
Yeah, and you know, I think
some of them were really good too.
Oh, some of them are astonishing. Some of them are just brilliant. And you know, having been reading slush for other people for a while, I'd say you know the percentage of really good stories we got is higher than the average. I'm sorry.
Do you have a release date yet, Manny?
Not a firm one. It should be out in late spring.
Okay.
Well, this is Marlene Barr, and I have an announcement to follow Manny's announcement.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Well, this is the first. The only people who know about this are me and Bob Brown, and I just signed a contract with Bob for a collection of my stories. And I had a story in Alternative Truth, and Bob said he liked it. And I said, "Well, Bob, if you like it, I have 33 stories that came from. Why don't you publish them all?" And he said, "Okay." And I went through the moon. So there's going to be a collection of Trump stories authored by me, and it's called The Feminist Site. It's called The Feminist Science Fiction Justice League Quashes the Orange Outrage Pussy Grabber, Political Power Fantasy Fiction. And I have a little a little descriptive paragraph about it, and I'd like to share it. And I'm very excited to have my Trump story published. And again, this is the first planet-wide announcement because no one knows this. So this is the description. This satirical single-authored short story collection is the liberals' guide to the Trump revenge fantasy gallery. Marlene Barr, who turns to fiction to move beyond wishing for Trump's impeachment, subjects our president to feminist extraterrestrials, alternative Hillary-winning history, Godzilla-esque male metamorphosis, fractured fairy tales, and that's just the start, and that's a good day. In the end, Barr transports Trump to a galaxy far, far away from us. Those who recoil at pussy grabbing need to grab this humorous and engaging, groundbreaking feminist power fantasy. Liberal readers will rate it a 10.
You go.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Right.
I want a copy.
Thank you.
As
I'm
well.
Really excited, and I just thank Bob Brown for giving me the chance to bring this out, because I'm a science fiction scholar and I'm turning to fiction writing, and I just cannot stop writing Trump stories.
Well, you're from New York, so you much. Every time he opens his mouth, you have a new story.
Well, I'm from Queens. I grew up in Forest Hills, which is just elementary school in Forest Hills, and he speaks with the same accent that I do, and it just came out like talking.
Much better than he does.
Yeah, but your brain is engaged.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have a brain.
Oh, that's true.
Hey, Marlene, thank you. Hey, you heard it here first on Madame Perry's Salon. It'll be Marlene Barr. Marlene, tell us tonight this title again. I was trying to write it down. This is great.
The title is The Feminist Science Fiction Justice League Quashes the Orange Outrage Pussy Grabber, Political Power Fantasy Fiction. It's a long title because I'm an academic, but I think it's funny.
I love it.
It's hilarious. I love it, too.
Yeah.
I particularly
like it
with your accent. I mean, that does it.
Thank you.
You have to have a long title to cover all of his offenses.
Yeah. And
you guys
have the best. I don't care what he says here.
I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
Fun one.
Doesn't that sound like a parody? It really does.
Well, that's like the kid from the back of the class that's making up an answer when the teacher calls on him.
And how is that different than what we've got?
It's not. That's my point. That's what it sounds like.
Right.
You know, if you have to say it, so you don't have it. Marley, we cannot wait for that. We are very excited about that. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to have a short story collection and to be able to say what I want to say about Trump. I'm just over.
Yeah.
My head is exploding in I don't know what.
Well,
that's
we're excited.
Whatever will you do for literature when he when we finally get a reasonable president again?
We're going to go back to reading people like Phyllis Irene Radford. Well, I never quit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What do you want me to do?
I
just
meant
to write about. You know.
I'm halfway through the Dragon series, so you know I've still got a ways to go.
Oh, have fun! There's only 13 books in the series.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm saving them. You know, you need some anti-depression literature, and you've got to disperse it around. You know, I used to grab stuff in one big gulp, but I don't do that anymore.
Mm-mm. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay, well, what else? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, I've got one, but it isn't my story.
Okay.
Well, the reason I picked this is, for me, it resonates the whole message of the book. And it is how we ended the book. It's a poem called Trickster Times from Jane Yolen. And we live in the time of the trickster, coyote, rabbit, raven, Anansi, the merry pranks of Eulenspiegel. We laugh even though they poke a stick into the private holes. Laughter is no medicine but a panacea. The stories our grandchildren will tell, the stone lady taking her lamp back to Paris, the fat old man on a throne of bones. We will not be there to hear the tales, but they will be told around the fires. Wine will be spilled on the earth.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. All right, okay. Gal. So everything is magnificent. Okay, so to keep us moving along, who would like to read next?
As Karen, I'd like to do a little wish fulfillment.
Oh, yay.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay. Shall I jump right in?
Please.
Well, go ahead. Yeah. Say your full name, because since you came in, didn't get introduced, and the name of it, so the people just tuning in will listen.
I'm Karen Anderson. I write as KG Anderson, and the title of the story is actually going to be the end of this section, so you'll know at the end. Here's where it begins.
Okay.
Lady Bird Johnson brought in a pot of coffee for Adlai Stevenson and herself. Molly Ivins was still drinking beer. And both LBJ and Walter Cronkite were nursing tumblers of scotch. I suppose we should get down to business, Johnson said, because it has to be business when you get a visit from a politician, a reporter, and a columnist. The former president, who leaned down to pet one of his two beagles, straightened up and peered at them over his wire-rimmed glasses. And as his guests exchanged nervous glances, his smile slowly faded. "Oh, hell," he said. "It's Trump, isn't it? What's he destroyed now? School lunches? Public education? Medicare? Social Security?" "Pretty much all of it," Ivan said, "plus health care, foreign relations, and the environment." "Well, what the hell is left?" Johnson shouted. "What happened to the Great Society? What happened to the United States?" Under the table, a beagle howled. "Lyndon," Lady Bird cautioned. He shook her off. "Take it easy, Bird. I can't have a heart attack here. I'm already dead." "And that's actually why we're here," Ivan said. "The Democratic Party, what's left of it, is holding a seance, and they're trying to summon one of us back from the dead to help them do something about Trump." Johnson grinned a terrible grin. "I'd say you found the right man for the job."
That was one of my favorite stories from the book.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's my favorite because it ends up with Trump flying off into the sunset in a straitjacket.
Molly Ivins is okay. One of my absolute favorite people. When I am reaching for some bit of wisdom or some bit of explanation for the totally unexplainable, there she is.
Well,
we need her back.
In the book, there is a link to footnotes for this article, and it's about Walter Cronkite's actual lawsuit against Trump and Molly Ivins' column in which she said that no one would ever vote for Trump for anything.
That's where H.L. Mencken comes
in. This
is
all based on research.
That's excellent.
Can I throw in one last interruption? When we were putting together Alternative Truths, the first one, Vicki Mitchell, or V.E. Mitchell as she writes, had sent us a story. And it was very similar in length and theme to one that Bruno Lombardi had written. And Bob and I were argued back and forth for almost an hour, and we finally decided that we would use Vicki's story. She's a longtime friend to both of us, and she has a slightly bigger name than Bruno. She's written a lot of Star Trek. And we sent her a request for some corrections and revisions, and apparently she had opened her computer to the story and was starting on the revisions when she passed away. So, you know, as soon as we didn't hear from her on the revisions, and we finally had a mutual friend who lived in the same city find out what happened, and he told us that she had passed away. So we scrambled mightily and asked Bruno to resubmit his story if he hadn't already sold it, which he did, and we are so grateful because he's a wonderful author and he has done wonders in promotion. But as these things happen, Vicki's estate contacted us and asked if we still wanted the story. And we said, of course. And we renegotiated the contract and whatnot because her estate was left to the literature department at University of Idaho Moscow campus. And Vicki's story is in this in More Alternative Truths. So it kind of goes along with Karen's story in that, you know, the ghost of Vicki is here along with the ghost of a few other important people.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I can't thank my authors enough for their wonderful contributions, their humor, their forethought, the depth of their thinking, and that is what has made it a success. And I want to thank each and every one of them.
Yes.
This is actually this is my very first published story. This is Deborah. And I suspect that the experience, again, might not be the same, but this has been amazing. just been wonderful.
Yes, this is Marlene, and I've dedicated my life to publishing things, and I think in my entire life I have never been part of a community like this, where, like, just being on this phone call, I never met any of you, but I feel like I'm part of a community with you. It's just
a wonderful
sense of community, and I just look forward to reading the Facebook page every day more than anything else that's in my internet feed.
You put
Peter,
a lot of fun on
that
Facebook page.
Yeah.
Even though Marlene, even though I'm not a member, I'm not a writer in this, and no participation, I go on there and read because I just enjoy reading on there how you all interact with each other. And I don't always comment. I might put a like or something, but I always comment on the side, like, okay, I'm just going to sit over here quiet in my corner and just sit at the edge of the cool kids table in the lunchroom and just read what you say to each other and pretend like, God, just like I'm almost a friend. You know, I'm almost one of them. Because you do have such a fun support. I mean, this is all brought about, like you said, this is a very heinous, unimaginable, tragic thing that's happened to us, and yet look at the people who are coming out of it for the resistance with Me Too that are coming forth and going, wait a minute, we just can't sit around, we got to all pull together. But I love reading your page, and you're right, Marlene, it's a fantastic group, community to be part of. So
and
if you think you see
Bob
somebody in the corner, that's usually just me slipping around.
Bob Brown calls us his publishing family, and it really is a family. He's succeeded in making a family and a community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yes,
very
it
true.
Is there, somebody else that I have left to read?
No,
anyone?
I think we got everybody.
Okay, would you mind if I read one of them? Because there's one that I did want to read.
Okay.
Feel free.
If you don't mind, I should have asked somebody first.
Who is this, Jennifer?
Yeah, Jennifer, Madam Perry. Reading
okay,
is not
okay.
mine. It's one of the stories in here I wanted to read. But first, I've got a little treat for you. This is a group that I found, Sandy, a duo, a husband and wife, Sandy and Richard Riccardi, and they have some great songs that they've written, and this is only 2 minutes, but I just want to play a little song for you, and then we'll come back. I'll read this last piece, and then we'll go over again just so people know where to find it and all the information. Okay, folks, sit back. I'm not going to mute your microphones because it'll take too long, so just kind of don't holler at anybody, just enjoy the music. Have a drink.
Tall and orange and rich and tubby, the boy from Mar-a-Lago goes walking, and when he passes, each one he passes goes. Apple, spending millions each vacation, he laughs as he rips off the nation, and when he passes, each one he passes goes.
You cut meals on wheels?
Healthcare?
NEA?
Pussy grab
tiny hair.
Oh, and I watch him so madly. How can I tell him I loathe him? In NYC, the bill comes not to him but me. How much money is he making from presidential golf vacationing at his own Mar-a-Lago by the sea? Oh, is he running the country? In Mar-a-Lago, laughing at his own government. farm and money trees. He's living free.
Fascist.
And charging me.
Bring hands, gobshite.
Down by the sea.
Bloviated shit given.
That was.
Did you like it?
Very funny.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they've got a lot of them. Okay. Again, folks, I've had several fantastic people here from More Alternative Truths, Stories from the Resistance, and make sure I get everybody's name. We had Melinda Lefevre, Irene Radford, Deborah Godfrey, Elizabeth Ann Scarborough, Manny Frischberg, Marlene Barr, Karen, K.G. Anderson, Rebecca McFarland Kyle. Did I leave anybody
Deborah.
Out? Deborah? Yeah. I said Deborah Godfrey?
Yes. No, Deborah Reinhardt.
Yeah. Pen name.
Yeah.
Deborah Godfrey.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Deborah Godfrey. Apologies.
Okay. No.
Okay, but I didn't leave anyone out. Okay, thank you so much. And it's the book Alternative Truth. I will have it all over my social media where to get your old copy of this. And if you don't mind, I would like to read one of these, even though I didn't contribute. And it is called, it's by Steve Weddle. Is that Weddle? Weedle?
Yeah.
All right. Steve Weddle, and it's called, and this is a very solemn piece, Remembering the Bowling Green Massacre. Where were you when the streets ran with blood, when the sky cracked with bombs, when shrapnel filled the air, fireflies of terror streaking through the heavens, thick with smoke from Plum Springs to Rockfield, from the Greenwood Mall to the Prince Hookah Lounge on Old Morgantown Road? Where were you? The screams of the dying echoed through the streets of the third most populous city in the state after Louisville and Lexington. When pioneers founded the town in 1798, could they have foreseen the horror unfolding in the Fruit of the Loom parking lot, the fields near the Carol Martin Gatton Academy of Mathematics and Science in Kentucky? But where were you? We needed your strength, your courage. Were you there to face a slaughter, the likes of which never seen, since the Hardesty family homestead fell? Where were you when the roughly 60,000 of Bowling Green cried out across the 35.6 square miles of the city as tears ran like water from the fountain in Fountain Square? Where were you? Oh, where? All right. Thanks for indulging me, and thank you so much to each and every one of you. I am grateful to all of you for this work. Marlene Barr, thanks for giving us the exclusive, and you better come back here with the Feminist Science Fiction Justice League squashes the
Justice League squashes the orange outrage pussy grabber.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
what she said.
Back here, my beloved friend Becky Kyle, Rebecca McFarland Kyle. Thanks for once again bringing the cream of the crop here to Madame Perry's Salon, and I love you all, and I'm grateful to you, and I can't wait to have you all back here again.
Thank you for having us.
Mother Goose was cut loose and needs skinny. She wants straight skinny. Yes, Peter Piper.
rug.